Today's shiur in the Dear Shu Mishneh Brura Yomi program is Daf Yud Zayin Omud Aleph, and we are in the third volume of Mishneh Brura, and we are beginning Simen Reish Nun Beis, which deals with Melochos Hamutorim VaAsurim LaHaskel BeYarev Shabbos Kedeshu Nigmorim BeShabbos. This deals with various activities, work that are either permitted or not permitted to begin them on Erev Shabbos, and that activity will continue through Shabbos on its own. So the Mechaber starts off in Sif Aleph, and he writes, Mutu lahaskel b'melocha b'erev Shabbos samud l'chashecha. Person is permitted to begin a certain work activity on Erev Shabbos, even right before it becomes Shabbos. Samud l'chashecha is an expression we use right prior to the Bein HaShmashos. Af al pi shein yochol l'gomra mibod yom. Even though you will not be able to complete that activity before Shabbos actually starts, before the day is over, a Friday, v'hi nigmeres me'alel b'Shabbos. But the activity will continue on its own on Shabbos without you actually having to do anything. So it will do the malacha, so to say, based upon your starting it on Friday afternoon, but that malacha will continue, albeit you're not actually doing it yourself, but as a result of what you did Friday afternoon, that malacha will continue on Shabbos. So this is permissible under the following situations. And he gives examples first. Kigon, lishros dio, v'samamonim b'mayim. You would be allowed to soak various types of dyes or inks or various types of herbs or spices, samamonim, into water on Friday afternoon. Vehem nishrim kol haShabbos. And they continue to soak all Shabbos long. Or for that matter, any part of Shabbos. Likewise, this is permissible. The law says unin, which the Ramah tells us is pirish agudos, to soak various bundles of shel pishtan, of flax, latanur kidei sheyislabnu, in order that they should whiten. So one would be permitted to put these bundles of flax into the oven on Erev Shabbos, and they'll continue to be heated up on Shabbos in this oven. Likewise, the law says tzemer, one would be allowed to put wool, lesol chayora, you would be allowed to put wool into a big pot, a yorez, like a vat or a big pot, she'ena aloesh, as long as it's not on the fire. We'll see in a moment why if it's on the fire, it's a problem. And v'hi tucha betit, it is sealed in a way with some sort of a clay. As opposed to shema hi aloesh, if it's still on the fire itself, then it would be osur. It would be prohibited to do this on Erev Shabbos and have it continue in Shabbos. The reasoning being, the Mechaber says, shemo yichate, which the Ramah explains, piru shigale v'yari ha-gacholim b'machte. You may come to go and stir the coals, what we call stoke the fire. And that would be a prohibition of cooking on Shabbos. The Mechaber continues and he writes, v'afilu eino aloesh, and even if this vat or container of wool is not on the fire, afilo eino aloesh, im eino tucha betit, unless it's sealed with clay, osur, you're not allowed to go and put this up on Erev Shabbos, because on Shabbos, shema yogiz ba bekaf, because you may come to stir it with a spoon or a ladle of some sort on Shabbos, which again would not be good. It would be osur. As the Mechaber explains, v'amegiz bikdera, afilo eino aloesh, if somebody stirs something that is not on the fire, Chayev Mishum Avashel, he would be, in fact, Chayev over here because of cooking on Shabbos. Now, I know we read quite a bit over here. Now let's look at some of the Mishneh Berurah and Dirshu footnotes to fill in some of the information that we're still lacking. The Mishneh Berurah in Sivkot and Aleph explains, Ubi Shabbos also Mishum Megabel. On Shabbos, you would not be allowed to soak the dyes in water. If you started this on Shabbos, if you put the herbs in or the dyes in on Shabbos, it would be an Isser of Megabel, of kneading. Because you're really mixing the dye and the water together. The Yesh Omrim, others say the reason is not Megabel, it's because of dyeing, of coloring. And he says, however, if you start doing this on Erev Shabbos, so you've really done all of the work that you're going to do on Erev Shabbos, and the rest is happening on its own, so that is permissible. That is Shari. And all of the things that we mentioned over here where it is permissible to do them on Erev Shabbos, it would be forbidden, Torah prohibition, to do these actions on Shabbos, but nevertheless, since you're doing it or starting it, and you're action is totally completed on Erev Shabbos, even though the, quote, prohibited activity is continuing on its own on Shabbos, this, the Mishneh Berurah says, is why the Mechaber said, Shari, it is permissible. Your permitted action was totally completed Erev Shabbos, and the Isser is following by itself, and therefore it's not your prohibition. Dishavunamun explains, the reasoning behind this is She'ein Bazeh Mishum Tzoveya, the first opinion that said it's Megabel, holds that it's not a problem of dying, because Erev Dio Imayim Einu Ela Hachana Satzeva, mixing this dye over here with water, is only the beginning of the process, and there's no actual dying at this point in time. Dishavut number 2 brings down a very important point. The lasos kodem haShabbos dover, to start doing something on Erev Shabbos, she yigrom she taschil lehiyasos melacha b'Shabbos. You're doing something on Friday afternoon when it's permissible to do it, but the actual activity is going to start being done only on Shabbos. So here the Shvitz of Shabbos brings down the name of the Machane Chayim, she'asur lasos kein. Since you didn't start doing it on Friday afternoon when it was permissible, but you put something into effect that will begin on Shabbos, that's not allowed. He brings down as well from Rav Tzid Pesach Frank Zatzal, kosuv shemutu. He disagrees with this opinion and says it's permissible. How do we pasuk this? So Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal and Igros Moshe has a fantastically important tshuva about Shabbos clocks, because that's a perfect example of what the nafkamin over here would be. And he's not sure. He says, he's stopping. Imutu l'chavin shon Shabbos. Can you put something on a Shabbos clock that will begin to actually do the melacha only on Shabbos? So you're setting your Shabbos clock Friday afternoon, no problem there. But now, at 2 o'clock in the morning, on Shabbos morning, whatever pu'ula, whatever activity is being done is now starting on Shabbos. And Ramosha says, maybe the Shulchan Aruch is not allowing this. You only can do it if you started the actual activity on Erev Shabbos. That can continue on its own on Shabbos. But if you're actually starting the Melacha only on Shabbos, lo hitir, maybe the Shulchan Aruch says it's no good. So Ramosha paskins, yesh le'esar. He says, you cannot do this. Kivin sheyesh b'zeh mishum zilzul b'kavod Shabbos. He concludes and says, this will lead to a desecration of Shabbos. Because via Shabbos clocks or automation, you can basically run your entire factory on Shabbos. You can do all the melachos that you'd want on Shabbos. V'ein lecha zilzul b'kavod Shabbos gol mizeh. There's nothing greater than this. You have an automated factory. You'll press the button on Erev Shabbos that it should go on Friday night and stay on all Shabbos morning, processing or making whatever it is, all isurim daraisa, but you're not doing them. So he says, this is a Zilgul Kavod Shabbos. And he says, Barur, Ramosha says, that it's clear to him, if Shabbos clocks have been known in the time of the Gemara, in the time of the Tanoim, in the Mishnah, the Amoraim, in the Gemara, they would have absolutely forbidden to use Shabbos clocks. Kamosha Amru, Asru, Amiru L'Nachri, just like they didn't permit you to do it via Gai. And he says, V'ulai Kolul Hadar V'Isser Amiru L'Nachri. And he says, this forbidding of the usage of a Shabbos clock, he says, would fall within the rubric of being forbidden to go and ask a Gai to do for you something on Shabbos, on Erev Shabbos. However, Rav Moshe is makel in regards to using Shabbos clocks for lights. And he says, the reason why, because Kfar Nohagu Ha'olam Lasus Kane. What Rav Moshe would have said the first time they came out with it, I don't know. But in Rav Moshe's time already, everybody was using lights on a timer, on a Shabbos clock, and therefore he permits it. And this is because technically there are opinions that say you could ask a guy to turn on a light for you on Shabbos itself. And therefore he would be matir the Shabbos clock for a light. However, Rav Oznus Atzal Neshevet Alevi, Shebe Erev Shabbos Mutu L'chavin Shon Shabbos. He says you're allowed to use Shabbos timers to turn on things, and certainly for something that will turn on or turn off. So the Shevet HaLevi is much more makel. I think the Velt Paskins over here like the Shevet HaLevi in general. However, this is only true for something that everybody realizes is being turned on and off with the Shabbos clock, and nobody will make a mistake that you're Pachas HaShom doing this on Shabbos. But if it's something that's not recognizable that's being turned on with a Shabbos timer, then it would clearly be forbidden. And certainly Rav Moshe says to cook something in this fashion on Shabbos, even if it was fully cooked beforehand, to put it on the oven with a timer that will go on Shabbos morning, so you'll have it nice and hot for Shabbos lunch, that is certainly forbidden as well. Back to the Mishnah Berurah now, Sivkot and Beis. He says to put the flax into the oven is permitted to do this on Erev Shabbos, in order that it should be whitened. So the Mishnah Berurah says, Afilu ein tuach kisuyo betit. Here, you don't need the cover to be tightly sealed on it with dirt, with some sort of mud. Afilu hachi, nevertheless, in this situation, lo chayshinan shami yigala ki soy v'chate b'kolim. He is not concerned over here that he's going to open up the oven and go and stir the coals. Why? Maybe he'll do that. So the Mishnah Berurah explains, the kivin d'aruach koshalem, because the wind opening up the oven will actually be bad for the ingredients inside this flax, lo chayshinan shami yigala. We know a concern over here that he'll go and do this because it's actually bad, as opposed to something where stoking the fire is beneficial to it, you do have to be concerned. And that's why the Mishnah Berurah says in Sivkot and Gimel that when you're putting wool into the vat over here, into this big pot, the koletes atzeva, it will gather in the dye into the wool. Mishnah Berurah Sivkot and Dalit also shema yichate. Here you have to be concerned that it'll stoke the fire. Hainu afilu yesh zman shiiklot ein hatzeva mibod yom. Even if most of the dye will be able to be absorbed into the wool before Shabbos starts, avilu hachi arsa. Nevertheless, it still is arsa to do this. Why? Because shema yachate kidei liklot heiteh. Because you may come to stir the coals over here, because it will make the wool accept the dye better. Sivkot and hey, shema yogis bobakaf. You may come to stir it as well. And if somebody stirs something, even if it's not on the fire, that's an isser of bishul. Mishnah Berurah explains. Hinei after mechaber hishva hagosa biyoril hagosa bikdera. Even though it seems that the mechaber over here is comparing stirring it on the fire to stirring it off the fire, eno shava legamri. They're not totally similar. The bikdera when it's off the fire, im he mivushelas kol tzarcho. It's already fully cooked. Tu las bay isur. Then there is no isser over here because it's fully cooked. The ilu biyora, but if it's still in the pot, the big vat, also b'chol gavdil hogisba, then you're not allowed to stir it at all, as we'll learn. In Yitzchak Shem kivul lekamim v'sim shin yuchesiv yuches yalkein, and therefore also let's say semer liyora, you're not allowed to put wool into a pot, a vat that's rosachas, that's boiling. Samuch l'chashecha kishen atucha, unless it's sealed, you can't do this right before Shabbos unless it's fully sealed. And this way you won't open it up. Afshei shos liklod at 7 mil yom, even if there is enough time that the dye will be absorbed in the wool somewhat. Because Shema Yagiz Misha Chashecha, because you may still come to stir it. And the Mepharshim explained, because the dye is always going to be taken up better if you stir it. So even though on its own it will do fine, but you may be tempted to go and stir it, so the dye will be taken up better. Mishnah Berurah Sivkot and Vav explains, Chayiv Mishum Avasho, you're over here for the Isser of cooking on Shabbos. Da'idei Hagoso Bikdera Rosachas, because you're stirring it in this boiling hot container over here, miskarev habishul b'mehira. It will make it go and cook faster, and that is an issur d'oraisa. Issue foot number 4 explains that the reasoning behind this issur over here is because even though the wool has absorbed the dye before Shabbos, we'll learn later on in Simen Shin Yud Ches that this issur over here of tzoveya is shederech hatzovim lahagis as hasemer tomid kidei shlo yichorech, because even though the dye has been absorbed, they constantly have to stir it so it doesn't get ruined. And he says likewise also that tzeva is better absorbed via the stirring. So for these two reasonings, as well as a third reason that he brings down from the Shaar Tzion over there, that the dyes need continuous cooking, so all of these reasons together tell us that you may come to stir it, unless it's sealed, you may come to stir it even if it's off the fire, and therefore it is prohibited to do this on Erev Shabbos without sealing it, because you may come to stir it on Shabbos itself. The Mechaber continues and he writes, Umuta lifros mitzudos chaya v'ovos v'dogim v'mitzod m'shabbos. On Erev Shabbos you're allowed to set traps for various wild animals, chaya v'ovos and birds, v'dogim and fish, even though they'll actually be captured on Shabbos. There is no isser over here of trapping or capturing these animals on Shabbos if you set the traps before Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah explains the Sivkot and Zayin. However, Ubi Shabbos, if you were to put out the traps on Shabbos, Ubi Shas Prisoso, when you set out the trap, Nichnas Achai L'Socha, and right away the animal comes into it, then you would be Chayav the Nisr Daraisa, Chayav Mishum Tzeda. You would be over here trapping on Shabbos. The issue foot number 5 brings down that this is only if it occurs right away, if the animal comes into the trap right away. If the animal doesn't come into the trap right away, then it's not an issa deraisa, albeit it is an issa derabanan. How do you define over here whether it's immediate or not? So the Chazon Ish brings down Shalom Sparishma, who it's not explained anywhere, and he suggests, if it comes in while you're still holding the trap, or you actually trap the animal, then it's an Issa Deraisa. But if there's a pause or a break in between you setting the trap and the animal coming in, then it's only an Issa Derabbanan. The Mechaber continues and he writes, Umuter limkor li'eino Yehudi ulhatino somech l'chashecha. A person is allowed to sell an animal or something to a non-Jewish person and to load it up right before Shabbos starts. However, the one caveat, which we've learned already previously, the Mechaber says, Ubavat she'etzi mipesach beso mibod yom. The animal or the item that you're selling over here has to leave your house before it's dark, before it's Bein HaShmashos time over here, while it's still daytime. The Mishnah Berurah explains why in Sivkot and Ches, Rotsalom, and the Chab is telling us over here, the Ein Shahos Lazeh, if you don't have enough time for the animal or the item to leave your possession on Erev Shabbos still, She'eni Yudi Masni Mo Shikach Mimenu B'Shabbos, or the non-Jewish person says, I'm not taking it right now, I'm going to go take it on Shabbos, Af HaMechira Asu, then you're not allowed to sell it to this non-Jewish person. We already previously learned the reasons behind this in Simen Reish Mem Vav. Dishah food number 6 asks a very important question. What about if a person has automatic machines, he has vending machines, and they'll be used on Shabbos? So are you allowed to have a vending machine that a non-Jewish person will put in money and purchase something from you on Shabbos? So he brings down that if it's in a city that's majority of non-Jewish people, so Dayin Weiss Zatzal, the Minchas Yitzchak brings down, Shemutter, it is permissible to own these vending machines, with two caveats. You should be mechavein lo lizakos b'mos ad motzi Shabbos. The money that comes into your machines, you should have in mind that you're not accepting that money into your possession until after Shabbos is over. And likewise, you should make a tenai, before Shabbos starts, that anybody that buys any of your product over there on Shabbos, you should make the tenai before Shabbos that it's already theirs. This is what we call brera, a retroactive determination that on Erev Shabbos, before it became Shabbos, that candy bar, that soda, whatever it was that they were buying from you, is already theirs before Shabbos. Brera doesn't work for Doraisas. So he says this whole Isser over here of Mekach u'memchar is only in Isser Derabbanan. Will be Isser Derabbanan mo'ilo Brera. There is no problem of saying Brera by an Isser Derabbanan. So the two problems over here of Mekach u'memchar on Shabbos aren't the problem because it technically is already owned by the non-Jewish person retroactively on Erev Shabbos, and you're not getting any Schar Shabbos because you're not accepting the money until after Shabbos. That would be how a person is allowed to own vending machines that are being utilized on Shabbos. Finally, Mishnah Berurah Sifkat and Tes explains that there has to be enough time on Erev Shabbos for the animal or the item to leave your house. So it shouldn't look like that you're telling the non-Jewish person, take this out from my house, and you're doing a transaction on Shabbos. V'yesh od tam lezeh. This is brought down, the Chavetz Chaim says, in Os Tes and the Shaar Utzion, from the Rambam, and it's brought down by the Taz, so people shouldn't see this and say, oh, you sold it to him on Shabbos, or he's taking it from you on Shabbos. Well, the Taz, according to this rationale, here you wouldn't be allowed to do this, even if there is no carrying problem over here, there's an Erev around the city, there's a wall around the city, or in a place where you have an actual Erev. And how do we paskin between these two reasons? V'chein hiskimu achronim, the achronim paskin over here, the bin yoneinu le'inyan mechira, in regards to selling something over here to a non-Jewish person, or renting it to him, v'chein le'inyan schiris, ezu chefetz, if you're going to rent him anything or sell him something, v'ada v'yesh l'hachmi, you certainly should be machmer over here, even in the city, afilu b'mkev eschoma, even if it's surrounded by a wall, so there's no carrying problem over here, v'ein yudi darshim, and the non-Jewish person lives over there, nevertheless, it's preferable shiyotzei mi beis o mi bojom. He should take it out from your house well before Shabbos, so it shouldn't look like you're telling the non-Jewish person to work for you on Shabbos. The Chavetz Chaim, however, in Os Yud, in the Shaar Tzion, does bring down that the Chai Adam holds over here the b'makom tzorich gadol. Under extenuating circumstances, you would be allowed to do this if there is an Erev, it's not a carrying problem, therefore, and b'shas hadchak, you could do this. That concludes today's shir.